I want to read just a little bit from the book of Daniel. I've read from this passage of Scripture a number of times, but I still feel tonight to read from it. And if you've got your Bibles, you can read with me. It's the 12th chapter of the book of Daniel. Started the first verse of the 12th chapter. Most of you know that this has to do with the end time. And you understand that right at this particular time that something is taking place such as has never taken place in the history of all of mankind. We've seen a lot of great things, Brother James, but this is something that humanity has never witnessed nor never received before. There is something that God has kept back for the end time. You remember how that at the marriage supper, Jesus turned the water into wine? And how that they made the statement, said, he's kept the best for the last. And so it is. Solomon tells us that the end of a matter is better than the beginning. So then God has kept back the best for the last. He tells us in the latter times that the light of God will be so great and so mighty that right toward the end that it will be sevenfold to what it has been before. And it stands to reason that if we're coming to the end of the church ages, and the seven great angelic messengers of God have already sounded, then it stands to reason that it should be sevenfold to our understanding now. Isn't that right? The light of God, the Bible said to the Lamb, is the light of that city. And Paul said, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. So then the sevenfold light of God. Now what is the sevenfold light of God? There can only be one sevenfold light of God. Isn't that right? How many of you remember the Lamb that stood in the midst of the elders? That reached over and took the book. You remember that? The readings in the book of Revelation? The Bible speaks of the eyes. Remember the eyes that could see behind and before? How many of you remember that? There is only one sevenfold light. That is the mind of Jesus Christ. The mind of the Son of God itself is a sevenfold light. There is no other sevenfold light. And what is the mind of Jesus Christ? The revelation of Jesus Christ. For John reads it, or writes it, and we read it in the book of Revelation, where he says that this is the revelation of Jesus Christ that God gave unto him, Jesus, to make known unto us, his servants, his sons and daughters. Paul also saying that he was caught up into the third heaven, that he saw the revelation of Jesus Christ. For he said, the revelation was made known unto me, I who am less than the least of all the saints, in that I persecuted and wasted the church of God. Paul said, yet God was merciful. I blasphemed, Paul said, and yet I received forgiveness because I did it in my ignorance. I'm convinced that he did not blaspheme the Holy Ghost, but he did blaspheme. Anytime you speak against God or the things of God, you blaspheme. But he did it ignorantly, and God forgave him. But in spite of all of his weakness, God made him the strong, powerful Apostle Paul and gave him the revelation of Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what I believe in tonight. I believe in the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what I believe in. That's why I talk about it, because that's what I believe in. Now you might say, well, Brother Pike, why is it that the other ministers don't talk about that like that? I don't know. Everybody has their own ministry. Peter didn't talk about it like that. But Paul talked about it like that. Peter, you don't find Peter telling how that the revelation was made known to him for a certain amount of time where he was in the Arabian desert or whatever, like Paul. You don't find that, but you do find Paul saying that. And so then, whatever it might be, that's what God has done. I talk about it because that's what I understand. That's what God made known to me, and that's what I understand. That's the ministry that he gave to me. I noticed it, or I received a report that one of the ministers over Big Gun, one of the big ministers, the leading ministers, over Big Gun, he made the statement that God doesn't give the revelation of Jesus Christ to people in this day like that. But I understand that a few days ago that he apparently changed his mind. Because he made the statement, he said, what we need to do is get back to the Bible and the revelation of Jesus Christ. So then, that's what I believe. I believe that we need the revelation of Jesus Christ. One reason I believe it is because I believe that's what it's going to take to translate the church. Now you say, Brother Pike, all it's going to take to translate the church is just to preach. Well, if that's true, then why hasn't the church been translated? God has kept something back. You say, what is it? I believe that it is this one thing. Paul said, pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. And I believe the one thing that's missing in the church is the spirit of revelation. And I believe that it's going to take the spirit of revelation to be able to translate the church. Now, I feel a little disagreement there, and that's all right. Everybody's got their own life and their own thinking. But that's what I believe, because that's what I understand of God. But you do whatever you feel to do and think the way you want to think, because you have to answer to God for your own thinking and whatever you decide. But that's my decision, because that's what I understand. All right, so then the thing that's missing in the church today is the spirit of revelation. Even after all the many months of trying to get across a few things here, we still find that very few among the people are beginning to perceive, even at this point. Brother Cartridge was telling me last night, I believe it was. We sat here over in the morning, there in the video room, talking. And all of a sudden, tears begin to come into Bill's eyes and into Gary's eyes. And Bill said, he doesn't like that or something. And he said, my. He said, I see it. He said, I see it. Why haven't I seen it before? And yet we preached it before. And Bill realized that we preached it before. But seeing, he heard it. And though he listened to the tapes, and though he's up there making the tapes, yet it's got to be quickened, Jim. See, the Holy Spirit's got to quicken it to you. And then when God quickens it to you, it just breaks you all to pieces. And you say, my God, how wonderful. Why haven't I seen this before? But it's so rich. It's so wonderful. I want to read just a little bit from the book of Daniel chapter 12. Bear with me, if you will. I'll try not to weary you or hold you too long. Chapter 12, the book of Daniel, the first verse. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times and a half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly. And none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,305 days. But go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. Now, there's just one or two things here I'd love to call to your remembrance, and then refer you on over to the writings in the book of Revelation, and elaborate just a few minutes tonight concerning these things. If you'd like to, you can turn on over to the book of Revelation, about the 12th chapter. Now notice here, there's several things that Daniel refers to. One of the things he says, that at the end time, the great angel or angelic figure, Michael, shall stand for Israel. The great and mighty Michael shall stand for Israel. For he says, Daniel, the great prince, the great prince shall stand for thy people. Daniel being a Jewish person, it's obvious that he's speaking of standing for the Jews. Then he said, Daniel, at this particular time, he said there's going to be trouble. Said you'll recognize the day and the season, or the people will, that is. Because there will be a troublesome time, such as never been in the history of all mankind. You know, we're moving into that. The beginning of sorrows is already upon us. When a man takes a young girl out in the woods, 15 years old, cuts both hands off, that's unbelievable. Many sorrows when a couple of little boys, 10 or 12 years old, takes a huge boulder and walks to the middle of a overpass and drop something like that down on a car that's rushing past to kill somebody. That's the beginning of sorrows. When a man does as this man did a few days ago, that Brother McLean saw, right here between Athens and Monroe, I suppose, or somewhere in the area, when he strips nude and takes everything off and walks down the road, darting in front of the automobiles because his mind has left him and that he is under such powerful influence of dope, that is the beginning of sorrows. Whereas I understand that the big trailer truck hit him, left him in a terrible condition, and even though they got him to the hospital, I got the report today that he died. That's terrible when people have streaking parties like they had at the Athens College and the different places. That's the beginning of sorrows. All of these horrible, hideous things are taking place. The angel said to Daniel, said at this time, he said, it will be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And he said, at that time, Daniel, every person whose names are written in the book every person whose names are written in the book. And some of those that sleep in the dust. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Did you notice that he used the terms that many of them? But he certainly did not use the terms that all of them. For the Bible said the wicked live not again until the 1,000 years was finished. Isn't that right? So then, many of them will awake and come forth to everlasting life. And the Bible said, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Another thing he said was, he said at this time, they shall scatter the power of the holy people. Now, the devil has really set in to scatter the power of the holy people. Did you know that? The devil has tried his best to cause all kind of division and turn one brother against another brother, to try to divide mother and daddy homes, brothers and sisters, trying his very best to make men of integrity that love God sell out to the world for a dollar. Trying his very best to make the world compromise with the beast of this world and compromise with the evil systems of this world. The devil is trying his very best to bring into the church all kind of ritualistic formality, rock and roll, everything that he can get into the church to scatter the power of the holy people. He is trying to bring forms of dressing into the church that is an abomination in the sight of God, and trying to prove that it's all right for that to be there, knowing that God isn't going to give any blessings to people that are in that kind of a condition. The devil is trying his best to scatter Israel. Also Israel, who is God's holy people. He is trying to scatter them and tear them down and keep them divided, one against another. All kind of things are going on over there in Israel. Groups are dividing one against another, trying to scatter the holy people, or the power of the holy people. He goes on to tell us, speaking of the wicked things of that day, he said that the wicked shall be more wicked. They shall be more wicked. And he said, they shall not understand. The wicked shall not understand, but the wise shall understand. Now, this is the most beautiful part of all of it. That right at this particular time, we as the holy people of God can understand. But the wicked doesn't understand. It's no wonder that they don't fill up the church. It's no wonder tonight that there's not teeming thousands that's trying to push into the church. A lot of times we say, my God, why don't you just send thousands of people? But see, what good would that do? What good would it do for thousands upon thousands of people to come? Because the Bible tells us that the wicked is not going to understand. So then why bring them if they're not going to understand? Folks, this is an hour that God has reserved just for them that love Jesus Christ. This is an hour that God has reserved just for the holy people. This is a time when God is gathering in the grain of the righteous. The Bible teaches that God will send forth the reapers at the end time and that they will reap the field. But he said the first thing they'll do is bind the bundles of tares together. We've had all kind of sweeping revivals. Hundreds of thousands of people have come together. And we say, God, look at that great crowd of folks. But then somebody will say, but they don't act like holiness folks. They don't talk like holiness folks. And they're not living like holiness folks. Why is it there's such a great blessing? Why is there such a great revival? It's because God is getting the tares together. All of this charismatic order of the world. What is it? It's God getting the religious tares together. God is sending to bind religious tares into bundles. God is binding them into denominational bundles. God is binding them in through society bundles. But they're joining something. Everybody is joining something. But I'm glad that I become a member of the body of Jesus Christ. I'm glad that I joined up with God. And tonight I am a member of the body of Christ. Hallelujah. And I don't need to join the societies of the world. All right. So then at the time of the end, there is something that must happen. We're told in the 11th chapter of the book of Daniel, down at the 26th verse, it says, "Yea, they that feed of the portion of his meat shall destroy him, and his army shall overflow, and many shall fall down slain. And both these kings' hearts shall be to do mischief, and they shall speak lies at one table, but it shall not prosper. For yet the end shall be at the time appointed." No matter what they do, no matter what they say, God is going to bring the end. He's got a time appointed to bring the end. And God is going to bring the end at that appointed time. It doesn't matter how many peace treaties they sign. God has ordained that the end come at a certain time. And beloved friend, it's going to come. Whether we want to accept it or whether we don't want to accept it, whether we are prepared or whether we are unprepared, God has appointed a time when he shall judge the world and judge all of the people. And God says, "Daniel, there's going to come a sad time in the end." And he told Daniel, he said, "You will rest in your lot. Daniel, you will be asleep until the time of the end." And he said, "Daniel, the things that I've shown you, you don't understand." But he said, "Daniel, seal them up until the time of the end." But see, God wasn't interested in Daniel understanding him. He just wanted Daniel to know what was going to happen at the time of the end. Why should Daniel understand? Why should Daniel understand? That was for another day. That was for another ministry. That was for another hour. That was for our day. This is for our time. We find in John's day, as John wrote the revelation of Jesus Christ for the time of the end, we find the angel of God speaking to John like this. He doesn't say, "John, seal up the book," as he did Daniel. He doesn't say, "John, this is for the time of the end." He said, "John, seal not the book. Seal not the book." And we find the only things that he told John to seal or not to write was the thunders. Isn't that right? But all of the other things, he said, "John, write, for the time is at hand. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is just, let him be just still. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still." He said, "The bride hath made herself ready." Now tell me one thing. Why is it that in the days of Daniel, the angel did not say to Daniel that the bride hath made herself ready? Why is it that he didn't say that to Daniel, that is? Why? Because he could not say it to Daniel. Because Daniel was on the other side of Calvary. Jesus had never yet died for the remission of sin. Jesus had never yet washed him white by the blood of the Lamb. But when John got the revelation, being on the other side of Calvary, he said, "This is the end." The angel said, "John, you're seeing the end time. You're on this side of Calvary now, son." Said, "The church has been washed in the blood of the Lamb, and she's made herself ready, and she's spotless." Hallelujah. The end of all things is at hand, Peter said. Here I am in the end time. I am without spot. I am without blemish. I am without wrinkle. There is not one spot upon me. Not one wrinkle upon me. Not one blemish upon me. Somebody would say, "Well, Brother Pike, you know you're filled with spots and blemishes. There is not one spot, not one wrinkle. When John looked at the wife of Jesus Christ, he said, there's not one spot, there's not one wrinkle. All of it's gone. Hallelujah. Jesus challenged him over there. He said, I challenge you. You go buy some of this raiment that Brother Pike is wearing, that Brother Taylor's wearing, that Brother Mike is wearing, and that these people of God are wearing. I counsel you to buy some of this raiment that's been tried in the fire. Having the Spirit of God, having the raiment of God, having the body of Christ. Today it's not me living, but it's Jesus the Christ. Today I'm alive forevermore. I once was dead, but now I'm resurrected from the dead and I'm alive forevermore. I'm resurrected to die no more. I don't have to die anymore. I once died. The Bible said God looked down from heaven, heard the groaning of the prisoners, and loosed them that was appointed unto death. I had an appointment unto death, but Christ Jesus broke that appointment at Calvary. Christ Jesus looked down from heaven and heard the groaning of the prisoners and them that was appointed unto death. And he broke that appointment unto death so that I wouldn't have to die. You don't have to die tonight. You can be alive forever. But there's one thing you've got to do. You've got to die to be alive forever. But you don't have to die anymore if you are resurrected from the dead. You don't have to die tonight. Hallelujah. You can live from now on. I've come into something that I have come to understand that by this means and by this power, I don't have to die. I don't have to go by the way of the grave. Somebody would say, now wait a minute, preacher. I can understand this eternal life as long as you don't go to using it right now. But now, if you're talking about using it right now, this is a little bit out of season. But I'm talking about using it right now. I'm talking about God, hallelujah, a present help in the time of need. I'm talking about salvation. I'm talking about eternal life that you can use right now. You know, having money in your pocket, if you can't use it right now, it's not much good. Say you've got some money in your pocket, and you can use it after you die. But what good is money in the pocket of a dead man if he's going to starve to death? Brothers and sisters, I've already passed from death unto life. I've already come over that great hurdle, that threatening power of Satan that threatened my life and threatened my eternal security. I've already passed beyond that. And today I'm alive in Jesus Christ. I'm not expecting to get to the judgment and stand there before the great judgment seat of Christ and have him to look at me and decide whether or not he wants to save me. I'm not expecting to go before the Ancient of Days and stand there and have him to decide whether or not I'm good enough to be his wife. I have already passed from death unto life. I've already been translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. Today I am here with Christ and God. Today I'm in the heavenly places. Today I'm here with Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And I don't have to worry anymore. You say, why is that, Brother Pike? Because I passed from death unto life. Do you know what I mean when I say that I have passed from death unto life? Do you understand that kind of talk? I have passed from death unto life. I don't have to die anymore. Hallelujah. That's what Daniel is saying. The Bible said, as the angel spoke to Daniel, said, Daniel, over in the end time, he said there's going to be some people that'll get up out of the dirt. The graves are going to break open. And some of them have been asleep a long time, Daniel. No doubt that encouraged Daniel, because Daniel knew he was one of them that's going to be sleeping at that time. And he said, about that time they're going to get up, Daniel. That was what Daniel was looking for. That was the encouragement Daniel wanted. Daniel knew that he was going to be one of them sleeping over there. Hallelujah. Can't you just visualize that? There, Brother Abraham laying in the grave, still asleep. Daniel still asleep, laying over there in the sod of Israel. Over there not too long ago, walking around in the Holy Land. As I walked, I realized that underneath that sod lay Daniel. Underneath that sod lay Elisha. Underneath that sod lay Abraham, laying there sleeping. Hallelujah.
underneath that shod lay Mary, the mother of Jesus, and King David, waiting for the sounding of the trumpet. Hallelujah. And there I was, a son of the living God, walking through the land. Hallelujah. Glory to God, being there, knowing that they were just waiting to hear me say, get out of the dirt. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody say, Brother Pike, you're getting more radical all the time. You mean to tell me that they're laying over there waiting for you to tell them to get up? They're just waiting for me to tell them to get up. Hallelujah. Glory to God, I'm bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And the Bible said, when I speak, it's not me speaking, but the Heavenly Father speaking. Hallelujah. That same voice that's speaking through me to you tonight is the same voice that's going to say, Daniel, get up out of the dust. It's the same voice that said, Lazarus, come out of the grave. The same voice that told me, Brother Pike, you don't have to die. You don't have to die. You know, I said this the other night, and I want to make the statement again tonight. I think one of the most foolish things a man ever done is die. I said, I think one of the most foolish things a man ever done is die. I think one of the most unuseful things there is death. Do you know anything it's good for at all? I know it's good for this one thing. It gets the wicked out of the way, don't it? Why did God let it come? To get the wicked out of the way. Hallelujah. Somebody say, well, it looks to me like it does a pretty good job of getting the righteous out of the way. But beloved friend, it wasn't meant to get the righteous out of the way. It was meant to get the wicked out of the way. God said, I will pursue the wicked till they perish from off of the face of the earth. But he doesn't say that to us. He doesn't say that to us. Hallelujah. Why should I die? Tell me, why should I die? Give me one good reason why I should die. Tell me why a man should choke until the last breath is gone and then fall down on his face and grow cold and still. Then be put in a box to lay there and rot for the skin worms to eat him. Somebody tell me at what point that glorifies God. Hallelujah. You know, the only point that God's glorified in that is when you stretch your arms and yawn and say, hallelujah, it's morning. It's time to get up. The trumpet sounds and you rise to your feet. That's the only point of glorification there is for God in that. Then if that's the only point of glorification, why go through all of that? Amen. Why not just say, glory to God, it's time to get up. Hallelujah. Why not enjoy it now while we can? Hallelujah. Instead of going through all of that. Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. Somebody would say, yes, but Brother Pike, that's at the last trump. You can't get it now. But see, the only reason he said it was at the last trump was because people wasn't going to get a hold of the knowledge and the faith until the last trump. Isn't that right? Brother, we're working on it. Are you working on it? I'm working on it. Hallelujah. Somebody say, well, you never can get it though until that certain time. Enoch got it. Enoch got it. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, don't you know you can't do that? The Bible said, according to your faith, so be it unto you. Either God lied or I can do it. Somebody say, I love Jesus. I said, the scripture said, whatever I believe, I can have it. Amen. So then, it's a glorious time. We don't have to die, beloved friend. I don't have to die tonight. You don't have to die tonight. Why should we die? God said to Israel, said, oh Israel, why should you die? Why should you die? Why do you want to die? I don't want to die to you. How you don't want to die? I don't want to die. So what did I do about it? I made preparations so I never would have to do it. Glory to God. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. See, somebody said, my, it's so hard to get to heaven. It ain't hard at all. All you got to do is just come on up here. Somebody said, but I can't find it. Jesus said, I'm the way. All you got to do is come through me. Everything will be all right. Hallelujah. Praise God. So
Somebody said, well, I can't see it.
The Bible said the eyes of your understanding can be enlightened. Isn't that right? All you do is comprehend it.
So then I think it's a foolish thing to have to die. Why should a young man or young woman have to die? Why should a little baby have to die? Why is it that we have to die and rot and lay out there and corrupt in the grave? What pleasure does God get out of that? Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, you're trying to change the plan and mind of God. God made death so men would die. God never made death so men would die. God didn't have anything to do with death. You can't show me one scripture in the entire Bible that relates God to death. Anytime God comes near, death runs like a scared rabbit. Did you know that? I said anytime God comes around, death runs like a scared rabbit. God isn't related to death at all. The Bible tells us that death came by man, not by God. God didn't instigate death. Man is the one that brought it into the picture. God is the life giver. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. You don't have to have death, but I come to give you life. Isn't that right? I come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. So then there is no death to them that believe. How can I bypass the grave tonight? Know that I have the opportunity through the Word of God to understand the mind of Christ, to understand the benefits of God and what God has done for me. And in so doing, I bypass the grave. I don't have to die tonight. Death is a waste of time. Death is a waste of time. All the time that you lay in the grave, that's a waste of time. David waxed bold. He said, God, it looked like David would die. He said, all of my bones stare at me because of my sins. And it looked like he would die. David turned his face to God and he said, God, he said, I can't praise you in the grave. I can't lift up my voice to tell you my love if I'm under the dirt. Oh God, David said, spare me. He said, and I will lift up my voice in the midst of the multitude of the people, and I will declare thy praises and thy righteousness, and I will sing the beautiful songs of Zion. Hallelujah. In the midst of the people. Glory to God. Death is a waste of time. God doesn't want us to die. This is one thing that we at Bethlehem and the people across the world need to get a hold of, those that are Christians, those that love Jesus. God doesn't want you to die, beloved friend. Now, some wicked person perhaps would say, well, that's wonderful. God doesn't want me to die. God wants you to die, and the sooner the better. He said, I'll pursue you till you perish from over the face of the earth. Don't you ever get the idea when you're wicked, evil, contemptible. Don't you ever get the idea that God loves you? Don't you ever let a preacher tell you that God loves you? The Bible teaches that God hates your image. He said in the morning, I will despise thine image. God hates you. I am angry with the wicked every day. How can God love something that he's angry with every day? Something that he will pursue every day. Till they perish, saying the wicked is like the troubled waters of the sea that's ever casting up their mire, and there's no peace to the wicked, that their offering of the wicked is abomination in the sight of God. If you go to church, it's abomination in the sight of God. If you give an offering, it is abomination in the sight of God. That's why I don't agree with all these evangelists always pulling offerings. They don't care whether they get it from a bootlegger or whether they get it from a murderer or a bank robber or wherever they get it, as long as they get it. But God doesn't need that offering. Hallelujah. God wants a sanctified, holy offering. You don't find down in Egypt where God ever told Pharaoh to give him an offering. Somebody said, wait a minute, Brother Pike. When the children went out of there, he made them Egyptians give them that money. They didn't give that to God. They gave it to the children. You love Jesus? They'd work for it now.
for it. But when God got his offering, it was out of the wilderness. And when God got his offering, he said, you bring me a freewill offering, speaking to the children of Israel. That which is sanctified, bring it to God. Is that right? Hallelujah. From his chosen people. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, that was still the Egyptians' money. Not so. That was the Israelites' money. They worked for it. Hallelujah. Somebody said, well, it come from the Egyptians. If you want to go back that far, the Bible said, all the gold and silver is mine. You love Jesus? Somebody say, I love God. Hallelujah. All right. So then there's no purpose in dying, beloved friend. There's no reason to die. I don't care to die. I'm not planning to die because I don't want to die. But God is angry with the wicked every day, and the wicked's going to die. But one thing we need to learn as Christians, that it is not the plan of God to die. It is not the will of God to die. God never imposed death upon Christian people. But the wicked brought death. It was when Eve done wickedly that death came. It was when Adam followed after the pattern of the wife that death came. And death did not come by God, but it came by mankind. Hallelujah. I like that. And this part I really like. You say, what part is that, Brother Pike? Paul, getting the revelation of Christ, he said, now then, if death came by man, it seems fitting to me that resurrection should come by man. Come on now. Oh, I like that part. If death came by man, he says, it seems fitting to me that the resurrection should come by mankind too. So came death by man, so came the resurrection by man. In Adam, one man, all die. In Jesus Christ, one man, all is made alive. Hallelujah. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, God raised up Jesus from the dead. Then what did Jesus mean when he said, this commandment I have of my Father, I've got power to lay my life down. I've got power to take it up. What did he mean by that? What did he mean by that? He wasn't waiting for God to raise him up. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Hallelujah. Keep the devil run off. Amen. I said he wasn't waiting for God to raise him up. He laid down to rest. He said the darkness is coming. I'm going to lay down and rest. Hallelujah. And then came the call. Jesus said it's time to get up. Well, somebody said, but wait a minute. Nobody could do that but God. But the Bible said when he got up, there was a number of others around. Might have been old Daniel. Hallelujah. The Bible said some of them that slept in the dust. God said, Daniel, at the end time, many of them that sleep in the dust shall get up out of the graves. And when Jesus got up, that was the end time. Peter said, you're the people upon whom the end of the world has come. They got up and stretched out, hallelujah, in the spirit of the morning of Christ. That bright, glorious dawning walked around. The Bible said some of the people saw the saints of God of old that had slept in the dust. They recognized them from what they'd heard about them. They got up and walked around through the city. Glory to God. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. You know what? What if one of the saints got up? What if old brother Elisha got up out of the dust and walked out here tonight? What about that? What if Lazarus got up and walked out here tonight? Or Mary, the mother of Christ, walked in here tonight? My, the Bible said they walked through town, walked around, walked by and said, hello, Brother Taylor, how you feeling? Glory to God. Somebody said, now don't take it too far, preacher. I'm telling it like I believe it. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I don't know, but one of them didn't go by and say, hello, Peter. Do you know me? Praise God. Peter probably had a fit if he did. Don't you reckon? No wonder he could walk on the water. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! It's no wonder they had the great faith that they did. The Bible said Jesus walked into the midst of them. And there he stood in the midst of them. And they said, it's a spirit. He said, fill of me. A spirit don't have flesh and bones like you see this man have. I'm a man. I'm a man. I'm a man. This commandment I have of my Father, that I laid down my life. No man taketh my life from me. Judas didn't take my life, and the Roman powers didn't take my life. Nobody could take my life. I'm a master over death. Stood there on the Mount of Transfiguration and proved himself to be a master before he ever went to Calvary and walked right into the glory world and back out of it. No man taketh my life from me, Jesus said. I come down here to lay it down. Hallelujah. For Brother Cantrell, I come down here to lay it down. Hallelujah. For mankind. Glory to God. No man taketh my life. I lay it down. I come here to do a job. And when he got up, no man picked him up from the dust. When time come to get up, he just pushed the clay back. Hallelujah. As we say, just brushed the dirt off of his eyelids. Walked out. There he stood. Why? Because he's the master. Hallelujah. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Today he's in my heart. Today he's in our midst. Today I'm bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. I'm standing here tonight. The same Christ, hallelujah, that was dead but now is resurrected and alive forevermore. Christ, hallelujah. The sweet, loving Christ. Why should we die? I'm going to close in just a few minutes now. I'm not going to keep you long. But why should we die? Death is a needless thing. Now, if I know that God wanted me to die, I'd want to die, wouldn't you? Like history says, as Peter started out of the city, got to the gates, passed through the gates, and he was, as he was going his way, I believe it's Fox's Book of Martyrs that records it, said he heard a voice, and he recognized it as the Master. And the voice said, Peter, where are you going? Or rather, Peter wanted to know where he was going. I beg your pardon. Peter wanted to know where he was going. And he heard the voice saying, Peter, I'm going to die for you. I'm going to die for you. Think about that. I'm going to die for you. And Peter said, no. No. He was fleeing for his life according to history. But he turned around. And he went back. And he said, according to the histories, he says, I'm not worthy to die as my Savior. And they turned him upside down. Death. Death. He wanted to die because he knew Christ wanted him to die for the cause of the gospel. So he was willing to die. If I knew tonight that Christ wanted me to die for the cause of the gospel, I'd be willing to do it. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? Hallelujah. I'd be willing to do it. And if there's 10 people here that should die for the gospel, be glad and willing to do it. Because no man can take your life. You lay your life down. You have the power to take it up. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, you don't really believe that a man has that power. All you got to do is believe. Enoch bypassed the grave. Just by believing, you have the power to believe. You have the power to bypass the grave. So then, God doesn't want us to die. Isn't that right? God doesn't want us to die. If I thought he wanted me to die tonight, I'd gladly die. If he tells me, George, I want you to die for the gospel, I say, Lord, don't let it be any other way. Whatever you want, and there was men that Christ Jesus wanted to die for the gospel's sake, to leave a testimony. But they didn't lay and breathe their last breath and choke, die, as death triumphantly became victorious over them. But they yielded themselves, as the Fox's Book of Martyrs records. Some of the women put on their best dresses, walked out into the arenas, and before the lions tore them to pieces or before they were offered to the fire, they gave the testimony that they wanted to die for Jesus. No man taking my life, but I want to die for Jesus, they said. I put on my best dress. One lady, they said, why did you dress up like this? Don't you know you're going to die? She said, I'm going to die for Jesus. I want to look my best. Hallelujah. But folks, let me tell you, those things is not so death can reign, but those things is to show the greatness of the power of God and the willingness of God's servants to serve Him. But truthfully, God doesn't want anybody to die. Jesus didn't want Peter to die. God didn't want Peter to die. God doesn't want anybody to die. But for the sake of the gospel, they laid their lives down. Their heads were severed from their bodies. But death is the enemy of God. Death is the enemy of God, and Jesus had conquered it. Jesus had conquered it. But He had also ordained that the 12 suffer with Him. Ye suffer with Me, ye shall also reign with Me. When Paul speaks of the ministry, he said, we who are appointed unto death, we who are made the offscouring of the earth, we who are despised and rejected, while you are esteemed, and while you are blessed, and while you are bound, we are abased and made a spectacle unto angels and unto men. We who are the ministry, but we willingly do it for the sake of Christ and for the church. But beloved friend, he said, I would that you abound. I'd like to abound with you. God doesn't want you to die. It is God's will that the parents lay up for the children. God doesn't want you to die. He wants you to get a hold of eternal life, get a hold of faith. God wants you to get a hold of faith so that we can bypass the grave. How many believe that there's somebody that they're not going to put in a casket? Come on, let me find out just how many believers we got here tonight. Do you believe that there's somebody that's not going to go by the way of the grave? Do you actually believe there's some people that's not going to sleep in the dust? Do you? And believe that there's some already in the dust that's going to get out of the dust? See, the Bible said at the sounding of the trump, the last trump, the trump shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Hallelujah. God doesn't want us to die tonight. It's not His will. If you believe that somebody's supposed to bypass the grave, wouldn't you like for that somebody to be you? Since you know that paying up your insurance and buying yourself a coffin in a grave lot isn't going to glorify God, wouldn't you like just to bypass that part of it? Wouldn't you like to bypass that part of it? Don't you think you're doing more for God now than you would be in a box? Do you believe you're doing more now than you would be in a box? Don't you believe you can glorify God more in the condition you're in right now than you could on a sick bed dying? Hallelujah. All right. So then if there's somebody going to make it, how'd you like for that somebody to be you? Wouldn't you like for that somebody to be you? How'd you like for that somebody to be you? How do you know that somebody can be you? Hallelujah. We're living in the end time. Like Bill and I was talking the other night, in the days of the 10 toes, there was a little stone that would shoot out of the mountain. And that little stone came rolling down through Babylon, tearing down the kingdoms of the world. It was in the time of the 10 toes. What is the 10 toes? What is the 10 toes? It was the time of the 10 toes of the image. We went back to Babylon, showed you the head of gold and where the head of the image started. Wouldn't you think by now the time for the toes to show up? Wouldn't you? Look at those nations in Europe. Those little nations over in the foreign country. Look how their 10 nations is coming together. Look how the horns and the toes is beginning to show up. It's in this hour that they're beginning to show up. the 10 toes is beginning to show up. Is that right? Then where is the little stone? Where is the little stone? The Bible said it was in the days of the 10 toes that the little stone showed up. Where is the little stone? If the 10 toes are starting to show up, where is the little stone tonight that the Bible said was hewed out without hands? Didn't have to sell peanut brittle. Didn't have to sell holy water. Come on now. Didn't have to solicit from the rich man. Didn't have to go to town. Didn't have to build a denomination. Hallelujah. Said it was cured out without hands. Hallelujah. The little stone that was hewed out of the mountain without hands. Without hands. No labor. Nobody done it but Jesus. Hallelujah. Without hands. The Bible said it came rolling down through Babylon. If I preach this book, I've got to study it. I've got to use my hands. I've got to go to college. I've got to go to school. If I know something, if I build a church, if I support something, I've got to work with my hands. But brother, nobody raised the college to teach the revelation of Jesus Christ. Nobody studied a book. Nobody labored to give the revelation of Jesus Christ. It was hewed out without hands, revealed from heaven. That day, the little stone that was cut out of the mouth of God, the Bible said it grew and it grew and it grew. How do you believe it's growing? Said it grew, hallelujah, till it filled all of the earth. All of the earth. Somebody said, well, I don't believe everybody's going to come to the revelation. That's because you don't understand. The Bible said it grew till it filled all of the earth. All of the earth. And said it got a good start. And when it got a good start, said it hit the toes. That little stone hit that image right in its feet. Hit the toes. And when it hit the toes, the Bible teaches that that image crumbled. How do you know that if you cut your toes off, you can't balance yourself? That's your balance. It hit it in the toes and overwent the image. Overwent the image. Hallelujah. And what a fall it was. What a fall. The great angel of Revelation took a millstone, dropped it down the ocean, and threw it down. The voice cried out, Babylon the great, the mother of harlots, is fallen. She's fallen. She's become the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Come out of her, my people. Be ye not partakers of her sins, for her sins has reached up to the moon. Reached up to heaven, isn't that right? That old carnal mind of resistance, that's enmity with God, that's death. That old harlot, that old flesh, that which is contrary to God. It wants its own way. Isn't that right? All flesh has corrupted its way before God. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Marrying, remarriage, drinking and eating. All of that at the end time. Isn't that right? Somebody say, I love Jesus. Hallelujah. You believe God's moving my spirit? Just then when I said that, something went home to a man's heart. You know what it was? Double marriage. Double marriage. Would it be wonderful if everybody was honest? And when I say these things up here, somebody would just pop up and say, glory to God, that's right. But they don't do it. But they don't have to do it for my sake, because I know it and I know who it is. I know where it is. I know what it happened. That's why I say it. But I don't want to embarrass anybody. Somebody say, you might be wrong. Ain't a chance. Hallelujah. When it's God, there ain't a chance of being wrong. Did you know that? How have you know that? The Holy Spirit's never wrong. Never wrong. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I make a lot of mistakes. Man makes a lot of mistakes, but God don't make mistakes. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. Sometimes I'm liable to call Esther Ruth and Ruth Esther. That's what my wife told me the other night. That's right. Sometimes I'm liable to call Peter Paul and Paul Peter. But God don't make mistakes. The Holy Spirit don't make mistakes. When I said that, it went home just like that to an individual. He's guilty of double marriage. That's what it is. But you know what? It's a man. You know what? God can help you. God can help you. Did you know that? God can help you. Oh, somebody said, Brother Pike, there's two or three of us in that kind of condition. But I'm not talking about you two or three. There's somebody altogether different that you don't even know anything about. See? The Holy Spirit knows, but you don't even know. You love Jesus. All right. So then it's wonderful to be a Christian. It's wonderful to understand that we don't have to die. I want you to stand with me. We could go on. There's a lot of things that I'd like to say along this line tonight concerning death and concerning eternal life, concerning the things that Michael spoke of about the 10 toes. So many wonderful things to be said. But it's like feeding a baby. You just have to feed him so much. After that, he'll gurgle, bubble, and spit it back out. Same good food that he was swallowing down. But it just comes a time when you have to give him a little time to get that on down. Once that goes down the hatch after a while, he'll get an appetite and he'll be ready again. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could really get an appetite? Really get an appetite. It'd be wonderful, you know, if you had the spiritual appetite, comparatively speaking, an appetite like an elephant, the boldness of a lion. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Had the strength of Samson, the wisdom of Solomon. Wouldn't that really make us something? How do you know we got better than that? Praise God. We're the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So then it's so good to be here tonight. Love Jesus. Praise the Lord. Let's just bow our heads together. Let me tell you, while you've got your heads bowed, something is taking place. Right in the midst of the people, right in the heart of the people, something is taking place. And the world doesn't see it. But there's a little stone that's being hewed out of the mountain. It's a little stone. It isn't made with hands. It doesn't come from seminary and from college. It's being hewed out of the mountain. A little stone. The Bible said it came rolling down through Babylon, tearing down the kingdoms of this world. It doesn't favor the rich young ruler. It doesn't favor the doctor. It doesn't favor the dentist. It doesn't try to get him on the hook. Get them all lined up so they'll support the cause. It doesn't flatter them. It doesn't search and seek out the movie stars and look for them that has money to stand by it. Something is happening. It's being hewed out without the aid of all of those things. That was the thing that they marveled at about Jesus. They said, look, if you're king, run and make yourself known. Tell all the Bible scholars. Tell all the rich men. Get yourself a white horse. And let's go riding right down the middle of Main Street and let them know that you're our king. Said, no man comes with anything but what he seeks to make himself known. But Jesus just said, my kingdom's not of this world. He wasn't looking for that. He just kept on doing his job. And they marveled. And they marveled because it wasn't hewed out by man. It wasn't hewed out by man. Hallelujah. While you've got your heads bowed, I want to pray with you. Precious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful tonight for the love of Jesus. We're so grateful tonight for your loving presence. Lord, because you're looking down from out of yonder's world.
How sweet and how rich and how wonderful, Jesus, to know that we don't have to die, that we pass from death unto life. And now, Father, we are in the age and the land of the living, and that we should be believing living. Oh God, if scientists can believe in that which they cannot see and speculate, Lord, and have such accuracy, how much more in this hour? By the mind of Christ can we comprehend the heights and the depths and the width and the length of the great wonders of God. Oh Lord, that we pass from this stage of life and from this dimension into that lovely dimension. Oh, hallelujah. Where our loving Savior dwells. Be with us tonight. Oh God, do something special tonight. Something in a great way tonight. Lord, to love us, to lead us, to guide us. Lord, to help us and make us alive. I ask you to do it tonight in the name of your loving Son, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let them that have an ear to hear, hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's sing this little chorus, can we? Sing them over again to me. Wonderful words of life. And let me more of their beauty see. Wonderful words of life. Words of hope and beauty. They teach me faith and duty. Wonderful words. Beautiful words, beautiful words of life. Wonderful words, beautiful words, wonderful words of life. Do you feel Jesus tonight? How many of you feel Jesus tonight? Isn't it wonderful to come together, that we can remind each other that we are sons and daughters of God. We can remind each other. I can tell you to take courage. I can say take courage because you are a son or a daughter of the Lord. I can say take courage. Everything is fine. God is with you. And you can say to me, take courage, Brother Pye. You are a son of God. Everything's going to be fine. Everything is already worked out because you are a son of God. You don't have to die. You don't have to worry. Have you ever stopped to think that God just had one son who needed to die so that all of the rest of the sons could live? Can you imagine a son of God dying? Can you? That's why Jesus said, I lay my life down. I am the Son of God. I have power to take it up. Not as Adam, created out of the dust, but born to the Shekinah glory of God. Do you have power over death tonight? Do you have power over death tonight? Now you say, Brother Pike, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. But do you have power over death tonight? If you don't have power over death, then you missed your calling. How do you know that you missed your calling if you don't have power over death? For the Bible said, behold, I give unto you all power, or power over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And who is the enemy? The Bible said death is the enemy of God. Behold, I give unto you power over death, my enemy. I give unto you power over death. Over death, is that right? Over my enemy. I give unto you power
which means that somebody is going to accept it. Somebody is going to believe it. Somebody is going to utilize that power, that faith, and that ability. You believe that? Behold, I give unto you power.
Will you accept the power? Will you accept the power? Behold, I give unto you power. Power over all the powers of the enemy. Hallelujah. Like when I started to put my foot in that casket, I said, no, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I want to live and do something for Jesus. How many want to live and do something for Jesus? Well, you better start believing. Death is your enemy. He's on your trail. He's on your trail. He'll say you got cancer. Whew, you don't have long. Boy, you got a bad heart. You better watch it now. I said, Satan, say you better watch out. You're wearing out now. Amen. The devil say you 35 years old. Older than you used to be, getting older and older. You're 40 years old. Whew, ain't long. They're going to put you in a box. You understand what I'm saying? Praise God. Just say, Satan, I don't work at the box factory. Praise God. I'm hired out to God. You found me standing around. You put me in the vineyard. Hallelujah. So wonderful to be a Christian. So wonderful to be a Christian. Let's sing just another chorus or two. We're going to let you go. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, he's coming to carry me home. Well, I looked over Jordan, and what did I see? Coming to carry me home, I saw a band of angels coming after me. No undertaker. Coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, it's coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. If you get there before I do, they're coming to carry me home. Tell all of my friends that I'm coming too. They're coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Swing low,